Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. I'm your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And here we are, guys. We have made it. Kudos to us. Kudos? Not sure. But anyway, we have made it, which is fantastic. And I really appreciate everyone that's been a regular listener. I feel like we've had such a nice podcast kind of direction this year. And I really appreciate all the likes and the shares and the feedback that I have received. It has been amazing. So this is the last episode for 2025. We're going to have a break and we're not going to come back on the podcast until the beginning of February. So this one is going to be a 2025 wrap up of trends I am seeing day to day in my practice, really in relation to estate planning. So number one, hands down, without a doubt, testamentary trusts. So I did an episode regarding testamentary trusts a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to go back and have a look, it was episode 36. And so I did a whole podcast on testamentary trusts. And quite frankly, I feel like sometimes it's all I talk about. I would say 9 out of 10 clients that come to me to do their estate plan, we end up doing testamentary trust wills. That's for both individuals and it's for couples. It's for people that have no children, people that have minor children, adult children, have children from previous relationships. Really, it's just such an amazing way to gift to your beneficiaries, your estate in a way that's just going to protect them literally for life, because now under the Property Law Act, trusts go for 125 years. So there's a whole nother generation that is benefiting from testamentary trusts, and people want to get on board with that. People absolutely love it. I used to have to do like a little bit of a hard sell. Not anymore. People know what they are. People have already listened to my podcast or they've been on my website. People, I think, you know, with the fact that estates are becoming much larger because of the value of property, people are becoming more savvy and they don't want to see their hard-earned cash just, you know what I'm going to say if you're real, I'm not a bogan Australian, but you know what I'm going to say, you know, they just don't want it going down the gutter, right? They want it protected. They want their children to benefit, their grandchildren to benefit, their great-grandchildren to benefit. So number one, hands down, testamentary trusts. I think I talk to a client about them close to every day that I have appointments on. And when I have estate plans, I'm just kicking testamentary trust constantly. And I think the main reason people are going for them is really the protection benefit. So as I said, in episode 36, I really delve into the protection. But for me, it's the number one reason. Once people have adult children, they just, I think, see, you know, if you have adult children, I think that you have seen what can go wrong in relationships around you when people are concerned about their children's partner. And so it just provides fantastic protection mechanism. So hands down, that's the number one thing I'm seeing in practice. The second thing that I am seeing a lot of is some creativeness. I'm not sure if that's a word. Creativeness around guardianship. So for a lot of couples that have children, particularly young children, they find guardianship a real sticking point. I think it really causes some decision paralysis in terms of getting their will done. Honestly, if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, oh yeah, we were going to get a will done when the kids were little, but we just couldn't decide on guardianship, so we didn't do anything. Hello? What, are you going to leave it up to the court? Leave it up to fighting family in the absolute moment of grief, like grief that has never been experienced by your children before? Okay. Anyway, I digress. So creative guardianship, and that's really using guardianship funds, changing the way that you appoint guardians. So we might have day-to-day guardians, and we might also have guardians that are in kind of the help with the bigger decision making as well. We're doing right to resides. We're considering the ability of older children that are over 18, caring for the younger minor children in those circumstances. testamentary trusts are also coming up a lot with it. And what I say to people is you aren't going to have a plan unless you talk to an estate planning lawyer, okay? We talk about this stuff day in, day out, and really can come up with some ways to make it work for you, but you have to talk to us. You have to tell us what your situation is. Don't leave it to chance. So I'm really seeing people take this on board, think outside the box in terms of what is required. And so definitely creative guardianship is the second thing that I'm seeing a lot of. Now, not to be a negative Nelly, but the third thing that I've seen a lot of this year is a lack of business succession planning. Okay. People not having, I guess, haven't really thought about the fact that they might need to plan for their business if they're not here, which I get it. It's not something that you think about day to day. However, it is something that you need to think about if you are a director and shareholder of a proprietary company, or you are a trustee or a pointer of a family trust, any kind of trust. You really need to think about what's going to happen. And I did in June do a number of podcasts about business succession planning. I had my friend Scott McNeil of Gibson McNeil Lawyers on. We talked about business succession planning and some things he's seeing in practice, and he had some really cool ideas in there as well. So I think that that's one aspect. People love talking to me about it. They love that I've brought it up. They just haven't thought about it before and they don't have any plans in place. So again, speaking to a qualified estate planning lawyer is the way to go. As part of that, I don't think I have, or actually I take it back. I've seen one, but it was in kind of a probate. I haven't seen anyone come to me with estate planning where they're in a shareholding arrangement with another person that's not part of their family and they have a shareholders agreement. I've read no shareholders agreement for any estate planning clients this year. So when you go into business with someone and your shareholders, you need to account for of what happens when it doesn't work out. And hopefully it will, but sometimes it doesn't, you know. And that person that came to me with the probate, they're in a situation where their partner was in a partnership and they want the partnership to continue, but there's no shareholding agreement. And so, there was a shareholding agreement. So they have a plan, but lucky, otherwise they would not have known what to do, right? So it's really important that you think about that as part of it. So unfortunately, lack of business succession planning is something that I've seen quite regularly this year. And the last one is, you know, one of my favorite topics, if you've listened to my past few weeks' episodes, particularly towards the end of November, one of my favorite topics has been capacity. And this has coming up time and time and time again in practice for me. Episode, I think 39, actually, I spoke about the elder law issues I'm seeing in practice. And the number one thing I am seeing really is around capacity, people having capacity, losing capacity, when enduring powers of attorney kick in, what attorneys do, you know, when someone did have capacity and they lose it quite quickly, is coming up a lot in that context. It's also coming up a lot in the context of challenges to will. So my view is probably that considering the larger states that we're going to see in, I guess, moving forward, they're probably not going to go down. Larger states that we're going to see in the future, the cost and expense of, and also uncertainty, I guess, of family provision applications, so contesting a will, I think that's going to go down. I think that that is going to become less and less. And I think what people are going to do is start challenging wills more, challenging their validity on the basis that the person didn't have capacity. And really for the reason that people are doing their wills a lot later in life. In my experience, I've had quite a number of people that are 90 plus do their wills with me. See, it's the end of December, guys. I can't speak. Lots of 90 plus year olds doing their wills with me this year. Some I had no concerns about because it's just a very vanilla distribution, but others are significantly changing the way that they're distributing their will. And I think this is going to give rise to many more challenges to the validity of wills. I think that that's going to be the next flavor of the month. And quite frankly, if you know me, I'm weirdly obsessed with capacity. And so this is something that I am going to, you know, help people with as well. So those are my legal trends for the year. To wrap up, it was testamentary trust, hands down, number one trend that I'm seeing in practice, creative guardianship, a lack of business succession planning, and capacity and related issues, particularly around elders. So that was a real quick wrap up for you. I mean, I think it's been a fantastic year. As I said at the start, thank you so much for listening to this and other podcasts. I'm so incredibly grateful. I don't know any of, no, I was going to say I don't know any of my audience. I do know people that listen day to day, but there's also people out there that I don't know. So if you don't know me, feel free to, you know, flick me an Instagram DM or an email. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know what you want to hear about on the podcast next year, because that is going to be my goal over the next few weeks, planning for 2026. Oh my God, people, I've got a child going to school, so it's going to be a crazy one for me. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful Christmas with your family, a great new year, and I will speak to you in February. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.